B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Listen, watch, and react in real time. Toucher and Richer on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Yeah. And just like that, we back again. Little brother. Yeah, Mike, I'm predator, eat any competitor. Had to double back, cause I've been way ahead of the curve that they set in the nerve they forgetting the herd.
98.5 is Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
Your recall of sitcoms is truly amazing. Now I kind of get what you guys feel when you quiz me on 90210 and you're completely taken aback. That's how I feel watching you reel off these series and shows that I've never heard of.
Yeah, and I don't have a good memory.
You watched a lot. I thought I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid. Obviously, not nearly enough, because I am nowhere in your universe.
Yeah, you had no 80s TBS knowledge. Ben, go ahead.
So I defer to your sitcom knowledge, and I seek your opinion because I was flipping channels the other week, and I saw a retrospective on All in the Family and the Jeffersons. I don't know if it's some sort of tribute to Norman Lear or something.
It was.
But I guess they're remaking those shows with new actors.
That's dumb.
Like, no new script, same script.
Yeah, they did it live.
New actors.
No. They it was a one-shot deal. They did both shows live with old scripts. It was a tribute to Norman Lear, who kind of co-hosted the thing along with Jimmy
96
Kimmel.
96 years old.
Yeah.
Still with it.
They had Jimmy Kimmel there to kind of steer him in the right direction in case he kind of ventured too far afield. And I still maintain that Woody Harrelson was awful.
I agree.
And the problem was, I mean, it's a no-win situation. You step into an iconic character like that who's extraordinarily dated considering the generation we live in now. And Woody Harrelson tried, but, I mean, there was just... you could tell he was trying to stick each line the way it was made in the 70s, and you can't do that in today's day and age. But Marissa Tomei killed it.
Yes.
She was fantastic.
She was a very good Edith. Very good Edith.
What did you think about Jamie Foxx? I thought he did a pretty good job.
I didn't watch the Jeffersons.
No, but, I mean, he had the guest spot on...
I was getting douche chills.
I understand that. He played it to a live audience. He screwed up and, like, played to the camera that he screwed up during the end of it, because they filmed it live. I mean, I thought he did a pretty good job. He over-accentuated all of Sherman Hemsley's, like, little wiggles and
mannerisms.
Well, that's mannerisms.
Kind of hard to over-accentuate. Sherman Hemsley, not exactly a subtle actor.
No, but, I mean, Jamie Foxx knew that when he stepped into the role and kind of played even Sherman Hemsley up a little bit. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't make it that far. I was getting a little douche chilly.
I understand. I understand.
All right, so the Bruins, Saturday night, now we know of the suspension that has gone down for all the crying that Grizzly get moved around, and Don Cherry saying that it was not a good hit, or that it was a good hit.
Oscar Sundquist, the guy who hit him?
Yes,
and by the way, this suspension doesn't mean all that much.
No.
Sundquist is the checking line center.
Right.
I mean, it's not like this is a huge hole that St. Louis has to fill.
Right, and the Bruins got screwed because they've been much better off getting the major and having the five-minute major.
Yes,
than
if
they
given would've... that option, I would have said, give me the 5 minutes instead of the suspension.
Yeah, and
yes.
A guy who plays 8 minutes a game, I would prefer a five-minute major. But according to Jaffe, and it makes sense, these officials feel like the league is a safety net and that they can... I don't want to make this call that's going to change the course of the game, so I'm going to defer to them. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, Steak and Eggs, guys.
Hey.
Fred, first off, I have to say, you have quite the experience and a wide selection of sitcoms from back in the day.
Yes, I was an only child raised by television.
I just don't think, though, the All in the Family reboot, I don't think it will go off too well with all the stuff that Archie used to say about certain races and religions and whatnot.
Well, they groaned. Well. The audience groaned at everything he said. Again, not getting that he was the foil in that and that he was supposed to sound stupid.
Are we convinced that it's a reboot? I thought it was a one-shot deal.
No, it's a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, whatever it was. But anyway, that last power play in the last game by the Bruins, that slashing call, in the third period,
mm-hmm.
I purposely counted how many times the Bruins passed the puck when they got in the over the blue line It was 8 consecutive passes before they let a shot go. And then after all that, shot never made it to the net. Here's an idea. How about you shoot a little more? This guy's five-hole sucks. His glove hand ain't that great either. If you just pepper this kid, you're going to score a lot of goals on this kid.
You know they're going to make that adjustment. I mean,
you saw it happen against Toronto. I mean, that remember, DeBrusque was wide open in front of the net and passed the puck against Toronto? I mean, you saw a concerted effort after that to put the puck on net. That won't last long, but I disagree with Mark's assessment of Binnington. Binnington's pretty good.
Yeah, you let in one softy.
No, but overall, you take a look at his body of work. I mean, all goaltenders have a weakness at one point, in one place. But, I mean, Binnington is really good. He's one of the favorites to win the Rookie of the Year award this year.
Well, he saved that team. I mean, that team is in last place going into January. And then once he moved into goal, he saved them. All right, we'll be back. Lance Armstrong was interviewed, and it was nothing if not weird. We will talk about that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Dutcher and Rick. Real night. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous.
So you were driven to this place.
Yeah.
By win at all costs.
Yeah.
You ever afraid that guy's going to come back?
Yeah. 100%. That would not be good.
How do you fight that guy from coming back?
Well, I think I took the first step by telling you that I'm afraid he might come back. If I told you no way, then I think that's a problem.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Lance Armstrong's a man who allowed him to become a, allowed himself to become like a Svengali, a man who gave inspirational speeches, took all the credit in the world for his heroics, and all the time was cheating and complete fraud and phony. But now he, for some reason, is doing interviews that were being advertised during the Stanley Cup final games. And he is unbelievable because now he has transitioned to a professional victim.
It is amazing how he actually thinks this is going to help him. He completely cheated not only the sport, but all the people that rooted for him. No one cared about the Tour de France or anyone riding bikes until this guy took over and dominated his sport. Everyone loves a dynasty in the middle of
it. But beyond, like, who cares? Like, really, at the end of the day, you've cheated at bicycle racing. Who cares? No, but he allowed himself to become this, like, deity. This is, like, God on earth.
Sure.
Look at what I'm capable of.
And now
of.
It's like, you know what? I'm not, it wasn't myself. I'm, whatever the excuse
like,
is.
A guy in the NFL gets popped for steroids, and you go, all right, well, I understand that. Like, there's dudes in professional bike riding that have, like, electric bikes that they get caught for. And no one cares. But the sick thing about Lance Armstrong is that he walked around acting like he was this god in perpetuating this myth about himself, all the while he knew he was a complete fraud. And now we're supposed to feel sorry for him because he's not famous anymore.
All the time. Remember that stupid photo he had in the basement of his house with the framed yellow jerseys on his wall? Do you remember that?
No.
There was an artsy shot, excuse me, of him sitting on the couch in his basement. I think there was a pool table off to the left in the photo. And then above him, against the wall, framed were all 6 Tour de France yellow jerseys. And I think the caption was, just hanging out at home.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
that's the kind of stuff he was doing.
Well, he was acting like he was an inspiration.
Now to have flipped and try to paint himself as a victim to kind of throw himself on the mercy of America, who, you know, he thinks will forgive him. That was then, I'm a changed man now.
But if I'm him, who cares now?
I know.
Like, what do you want?
It's all calculated, and he desperately wants approval.
Yeah, but what are you going to do now?
I don't know.
You're not going to ride a bike anymore.
I don't know. Is this a 12-step program? I have no idea.
I don't. Well, we'll find out. Here is the interview with Mike Tirico.
If a kid comes to you and says, hey, I'm thinking about dipping my toe into the performance-enhancing drug world because others are, what do you tell them?
It's every situation. There's not an easy answer. Every situation is different. I don't ever want a kid to come up to me and ask me that.
Has anyone?
No. Thank God. I don't think I'm the right person to ask. I would obviously advise them. I would ask some questions. I haven't been in that position, but sure. I got a boy who plays D1 ball.
Right.
Why is it the answer just no? I would tell them not to.
Because he's obviously on something.
That's the whole tenor of the thing.
Because he can't say no.
Why?
Because that makes him sound like that he did something that no one else would do. If he says that it depends, because the moral of the story is going to be, if you want to succeed at something, other people are cheating and you should cheat too, which I don't have a problem with. If he did a million steroids, I don't care. What do I care about the Tour de France? What I care about him is that he allowed himself to become this mythic legend outside of the world of cycling. He allowed himself to be this deity, this God that walks among us, and he knew the whole time it was stupid. Win your dumb awards in your races that no one cares about and leave it alone.
But he needed to win all those races in order to become what you say he wanted to become.
Don't become that.
But if you do all of that.
Oh, no, John, you can do that and move back to Austin in the off season and sit. You don't have to go around.
I'm not saying you can't. I guess what I'm saying is the reason he took this interview, the reason he's doing this interview, is to become a victim and say, I've changed. If you do that and you want that to be what this interview is about, if asked the question, how would you advise young people who want to take PEDs? Shouldn't your answer be immediately no?
I don't know. He's out of his mind. I want to hear why he allowed himself to go out there and tell everyone how wonderful he was.
Jeez.
And be a big influence talking at schools and stuff. Just shut up.
Did you just believe your own lies? Do you believe your own defense that you built up around you and just got lost in that cocoon a little bit?
No, I didn't believe it. I mean, I knew the reality. I knew the truth. But it's tough to stop once you start.
Did you get close to flipping that switch at any point?
No.
20 years ago, you won your first.
Yeah.
7 years ago, you were stripped of all seven.
Yep.
Which one of those events defines who you are right now?
I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change the way I acted. I mean, I would, but if I just doped and didn't say a thing, none of that would have happened.
But
he was so vocal in his defense, you remember. And he really did his best to ruin the lives of the people around him by calling them out for calling him out. If you understand what I'm saying.
No, he was a huge
threat. He ruined the reputations of a lot of people around him.
Yeah, he was vindictive.
By being so vocal in his defense, and everyone was on his side at the time. So all the people that pointed out that he was cheating, correctly so, had their lives ruined by him.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, he was vindictive.
I was asking for them to come after me.
Do you remember the first time that you did a performance-enhancing drug of any type?
Well, it's just, yes. I think I do. But the first time you take, a legitimate banned substance, 93.
You were surrounded by it. Was there the feeling that if we didn't, then we couldn't compete?
Yeah, well, that wasn't just a feeling, that was a fact. And I didn't want to go home, man. I was going to stay. I knew there were going to be knives at this fight. Not just fists, I knew there'd be knives. I had knives. And then one day, people start showing up with guns. And that's when you say, do I either fly back to Plano, Texas, and not know what you're going to do, or do you walk over to the gun store? And I walked to the gun store. So I didn't want to go home.
What the hell is he? What's a knife and a gun? What would you consider a knife?
I think people, again, I'm not positive. I'm going to answer this by first telling I'm not sure. My guess is people started, you know, pointing out that he was cheating. And so he decided to go over the top the other way and double down.
Craig, go ahead.
The thing he needs to bring up is that there was a woman that was giving him a sports massage PT in England. She overheard some conversations between himself, his manager, and she kind of reported it. So he took a vehement attack against her, sued her for millions of dollars. She lost the job. She didn't work for several years. She almost committed suicide. And he did this to several other people who had, in the midst of his, like, height, that found little cracks that he might have been cheating. He went with his lawyers, I think he had like a half dozen lawyers at the time, go after these people to crush them. The poor woman, after years of this, he never brings up this, the people he attacked, that when he was cheating, he's just not a good person.
No, he's a piece of garbage. And if you know you're guilty, let it go. Like, oh, well, she said this about, let it go. Pay her off. You know?
No, I mean, literally, the woman did not work for 2 years. She almost committed suicide, if I'm not mistaken. He sicked lawyers after lawyers after lawyers after these people. If you look into it, and I mean, on top of it, he also leaves Sheryl Crow in the midst of breast cancer. I mean, I treat cancer patients. He's a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And to think anything otherwise, he was a liar. He was a cheat. And I don't understand why they even have him on the sports show with Tirico. For what?
I know. I don't even, what does he want? I don't get, like, what he wants. Like, people to like him? Go F yourself. I mean, he's still rich. Go F yourself. Go sit in Austin. All right, I've had enough of that. All right. Well, I'll tell you this, Rich, is that we have loved nothing more than Pasternak off the ice
mm-hmm.
during this playoff run. And Dan Roach was kind enough to send us some audio of him talking to David Pasternak.
He is. And I do want to just kind of do a tease. What is it? A vertical tease for 8 o'clock because the St. Louis radio station has been talking about us.
It's not even so much what they say about us.
It's more just their show.
Yeah.
So once again,
what they say about us is fine.
Yeah.
What they do after that is hackaroony.
Yes. they're talking about Boston fans, and we got to listen to a little bit of it. And at 8 o'clock, we will explore that thing like the Zapruder film.
All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, this is David Pasternak from the Boston Bruins. David Pasternak from the Boston Bruins.
Center deflected, they score! Pasternak champs into the open far side.
But today, I'm David Pastafarian. David Pastafarian. Hey, look, a banana boat.
But you caught me on the counter. Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa. Wasn't me. Even had her in the shower. Wasn't me. She even caught me on camera. Wasn't me. Honey came in the shower. Caught me. Creeping with the girl next door. Picture this. We were both butt naked. Banging on the bathroom floor. I had to try to keep her from what she was about to see. Why should she believe when I told her it wasn't me? Legalize it. The color of your energy. Whoa, Amber is the color of your energy. 311 is not good band.
Break up the 5 billion.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks.
I warm it up like Cain in his prime. Up with us, you insane in the mind. You cowards way out of
Pasta.
Money talk, boy, you wasting my time. You don't want to put the work in. You just want to taste of the shine. We'll talk, so it's hard to trust.
Thanks.
I'm in it for the long ride. Like I drive a chartered bus. Scars and blood from the different
Thanks.
Bars I bust. It's all we trust. The army body bombs.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich and David Pasternak.
Who's the best? Who's the worst? We can argue hours.
Why don't you leave? Check your voicemail. You've been missing calls all day.
Hey, ref, check your voicemail. You missed some calls.
I just want a shirt that says voicemail. That's it.
W-O-I-C-E.
And have it said in like a black shirt in gold. Just wanted to say, you know, just or in the Duncan colors. Voicemail.
Oh, okay.
That's
so,
it.
David Pasternak is having a good time this postseason. He has popped into many movies and TV shows to be the wacky neighbor.
He has. I mean, he's just kind of stuck his head in and said,
yo, what's up, guys?
Right.
Randomly out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, do you have the Belvedere clip still?
Oh, geez. You know what I do? Here we go. Okay. So,
if you can find.
Hi, Mr. Belvedere.
Hello, Danny.
Is Wesley here?
Yes, come on in. Everyone, you remember Wesley's friend, Danny?
Oh, hi, Danny. Hi, Mrs. Owens, Mr. Owens.
Hiya, champ. How's it going?
Well, I gotta eat, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Did somebody say AIDS?
To cut the tension. It means HIV positive.
Yo, what's up, guys?
All right, so, like, he was the comic relief.
Sure.
All right, so, so we've got an audio. It's not long.
He's and the thing is, too, about David Pasternak, I've been saying this for about a month now, is that if indeed this team wins the Stanley Cup, I mean, we remember like the superstars that came out of the month following, and really Brad Marchand was the king. I mean, he was young at the time. You know, he was out of nowhere, went from being a nobody to everyone loving this dude. He was young. There was pictures of him with his shirt off dancing on tables. He got the misspelled Stanley Cup champions tattoo on his body, which he, of course, never, I think, fixed it. I think it still says Stanley Cup Champions.
Wasn't that matching? He and Sagan got matching tattoos?
Yeah.
I seem to remember
but
that.
But were they both misspelled or just
Marchand? I don't know.
Which is fantastic. But there's no one that I want to see more, if they win a Stanley Cup, just lose their mind, than David Pasternak. Because you know he is going to completely enjoy this. Like, a matter of fact, through the whole postseason, he's the one guy that's been able to, like, crack a smile a little bit and have some fun with it. You can tell he truly enjoys being in the spotlight for once.
Dave, that's nice of you to say. David, what do you think?
Jesus, man, I wish I had all this stuff ready to go. What did he say? He said, of course,
Thanks.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yes, we're talking about you. We're saying nice things.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome, David Pasternak. But I want to see him go nuts, because you know it's going to be next level stuff, and he's going to become a legend in this town. And maybe he'll even get the same treatment that allegedly Marchand did, where I think Peter Chiarelli, after several weeks, just after everyone had gone home, after the cup had been carried through the north end, and you saw them all on the waterfront, and then everyone at parties was again, I think somebody sat Marchand down and said, dude, go home.
You know, they did. They said, go home to Canada.
It might have been Thornton who told us that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just, dude, time to go home. And I think, and Marchand's not going to be the same this time. Marchand's going to have a great time, but he's an adult now. You know, he's a father. I think it's not going to be anywhere near the level that it was, but I think the baton is going to be passed. And I think McAvoy is kind of the undercard in this. I have a weird feeling.
He's 21.
Yeah, so McAvoy, I think, is going to go nuts as well. And him and Pasta are buddies.
Yeah, I know a guy who's good friends with Marchand, and he was friends with him when he was single, and they both kind of got married around the same time, and Marchand has a kid. Yeah. And I guess Marchand's calmed way down.
Yeah, well, of course he has. I mean, he's an elder statesman now.
Yeah.
You know, in the league. But speaking of that, we were talking this morning that if the Bruins, for some reason, were to win out, and Thursday night, game 5, they ended up winning the Stanley Cup, you know, logic would say that the parade would be on Saturday. But as I mentioned, Saturday is the Pride Parade. And I thought, how great would it be if they just combined the two of them? It would obviously be fantastic. You'd have to fly in the band Bear Force One for that day. They'd have to be on the main float. There's no question that Bear Force One would have to kick off the whole thing, wherever they're from, Sweden or what. But I thought that they couldn't do it on a Sunday. But I have been told, and I don't know how true this is, but somebody who says that they know, is that if for some weird reason they were to win it on Thursday, they could do it on Sunday. So you would have the Pride Parade on Saturday, and that, which stinks. They missed out on what could have been probably the greatest day in Boston sports history, is to combine. I mean, at least the most fun day in the 14 years I've been here is that you combine the Pride Parade with the Bruins Parade. Oh, it would have been the greatest. It would have been the greatest. And the bear float would have been probably the highlight of it all.
Yeah, you could have like
the real bears with the Bruins bear.
Yeah, and you could have the guys that are like to be pony guys.
right, you know, the pony crew. But I mean, you just imagine, here we go, right in the front. You got the four guys in their multicolored polos from Bear Force One. Then Zdeno Chara in the next boat. And then you've got the old gay Monopoly guys that's in the next one, the Elder Statesman. And then Monopoly guys is, of course, David Pastrnak called it. Just mix the two together, but I heard Sunday.
Those got to be called. I think those are called daddies. The older statesmen.
Is that what it is?
I don't know for a fact.
Because it's like, this is like, as I said, like from the 20s, like monocles and everything.
Oh, I don't know.
The themes, the floats at the Pride Parade are just next level.
Maybe it's an Amish theme. And like on the weekends, they raise barns.
It's like an Amish theme.
Yeah, like a
gay subsect.
Yeah, like they don't like electricity. Let the summertime roll. All right.
I like that theme. All right, so David Pastrnak had a brief moment with Dan Roach the other day, and he asked him about this.
As you walk around the city, how many times do people come up to you now and say, hey, ref, check your voicemail?
Yeah, I mean, I heard it a couple of times, you know. On the ice with some refs, it's been some funny conversation too, you know. But it's heard it definitely a lot.
Really, what do the refs say to you?
They check your voicemail.
That's awesome.
By the way, asking you show receive, our listeners are the best. Somebody has already made up a "Hey ref, check your voicemail" shirt in Dunkin' Donuts color. I would buy that.
Is
I
that
would
the
buy
clip?
That. What's that?
Is that the
clip? That's the clip. Yeah, right.
There. I thought it had something to do with us.
I thought so too.
That's the clip. What the hell clip is that?
That's the clip.
He told us that it had something to do with the show.
He didn't tell me that.
No. But Giza told. Isn't that true?
The conversation, and this all started. I talked to Dan before.
That was
game
the rumor.
Two. That was. I talked to him, and he's like, "I have something. Tell Joe. I'm going to tell Joe to send some stuff to you." And he said, "Yeah, you know, this stuff happens on the ice. You know, you guys were talking about it. Maybe I misinterpreted. So if it was sold incorrectly, that's my fault."
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of even playing that?
It was really funny.
Way to go, John. Your punishment is you have to do your next Godzilla read in Leon Redbone voice.
You know, I looked ahead. I don't have one.
Okay.
I honestly looked ahead.
For some reason,
you turned into the shot.
You
at
doing
it.
That Godzilla read was the highlight of my week.
I understand.
With every update, find a really old 80s obscure. Try to find the theme to Rocky Road. Good luck.
No, but does it have to be instrumental?
No. Until he does the ad, no.
But
just don't play California Dreams during the update. Oh, no one listens to the updates. It's an excuse to have a commercial.
Or what about the Alf theme?
That hurts a little.
Alf theme is instrumental.
Come on now. I'll do the Alf
theme.
That's
right, John.
That hurts a little.
Your whole job is to do updates.
That's true.
That's right. You contribute nothing else to the show but the updates. Quite frankly, the updates seem a little unnecessary with the computers and all. But
maybe that's why they took one away. Now it's only twice an hour instead of three
times.
Take
it as a compliment, dummy.
Yes. I'm aware. Thank you.
Yeah, all you do is do the updates. That's why you're here. All right.
You're right about the T-shirt, though. I'd buy one, too.
Oh, of course.
That's pretty good.
Hey, ref, check your voicemail.
I like
with
that
his face
lot
on it. Yeah, I would buy three of those.
No, I want him here. Audience, do this, and I wear the craft shirt that the guy made that says
"Paradise like hot dog slice."
Yeah, I wear it. Mm-hmm. So if you can make a picture of Pastrnak like looking through a window that says, "Hey, what's up, guys?"
Well, I think we're making that.
But it's not going to. It's just going to say, hey, what's up, guys? I want Pasternak like looking through a window.
With his face?
Like the wacky neighbor.
Would you have to get the licensing for his face?
What's up, guys?
Like Empty Nest, when the guy from the Isuzu commercials would come over.
Joe Isuzu?
He was on Empty Nest.
Oh, my God, dude. You're in a zone right
now. I didn't
know
that.
You are in, like, a bad TV sitcom zone.
I mean, he wasn't even
zone.
A main character. He was, like, the next-door neighbor. How do you remember that?
Was that a Richard Mulligan production?
That was a Richard Mulligan.
That's insane. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was the wacky neighbor.
It's just amazing.
Empty effing Nest. I would have probably died and never heard the name of that TV show or thought about that ever again until you just brought
Mulligan.
That up.
Man. Richard Mulligan always seemed to be on the verge of death, so it was a little depressing.
Richard Mulligan, the head, I think, wasn't he the chief of police from the first Police Academy?
No,
it's a different guy.
Oh, that's Punky Brewster.
Yeah, no, Lessard. Yeah. Lessard was somebody else.
This is the place where it all got started. This is the way it began.
You know what it is, Fred?
We're on our own to come and dance and party. Doing the best that we can.
Rocky Road.
Yeah.
Oh,
home of a family's very own. Rocky, Rocky Road. Rocky, Rocky Road. Welcome to the home of a family's very own. Rocky, Rocky Road.
I swear to God, dude, you're a savant.
There has to be a quiz. There has to be.
Okay, but I only want shows that no one in that room knows. Like I want shows okay, that
but then again,
that were
the
like
guidelines,
canceled.
The guidelines, they well, because Rocky Road was on for 3 years,
which is insane.
So you want to limit it to like 20 episodes or less?
It can't
no,
be.
No,
it
no,
can't,
no,
it can't be network TV.
It
can't be network TV.
Okay,
because they had to have run at some point during the day. Like I didn't sit home and watch.
Okay,
like you know, I didn't watch like Empty Nest while it was on regular TV. No, I sat at home like a loser and watched shows during
the
day.
Oh, so something that had over 100 episodes and was...
It doesn't necessarily... How many did Rocky Road have? I have the idea. Rocky Road had 71.
Like, I think of shows that were on for, like, a season, like Homeboys in Outer Space. Do you remember that?
I remember the network, but I no.
Because that was, like, I think the WB launched with that.
Yes. It was supposed to be, like, the black channel, the WB, and then they put out the really... corny and sort of disrespectful. Go. Here's what the black audience wants. Homeboys from Outer Space.
Right. And it's probably a bunch of Richard Mulligan guys in a boardroom.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
bring in those hip and hop records and let's figure out if we can get a formula for all this.
How do we get these black folk listening?
All right. Yeah, so maybe later on the show. And it has to be shows that are either like not on a major network or were canceled after one season. Because how
one
Fred knows this stuff is...
One season's tough. Because it didn't go to syndication.
That's what I meant. You need 100 to go syndicate. Or not 100, because that guy is 72, but 60, 70 episodes to get syndication?
Well, Rocky Road was never syndicated. It was a show that didn't run on a network. Like, it ran on TBS.
Okay, because the guidelines keep shifting here. This is going to be difficult.
Well, like, I didn't see every episode.
No, I understand.
Like, if a show got canceled after, like, you know, 10 episodes, I didn't see it. It had to have run during the day at some point.
What's better, the hey ref, check your voicemail, or just it saying voicemail, and that's it?
Him poking his head through the window like John Isuzu and saying, what's up, guys?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Want to play a game of communist Monopoly?
Thanks.
Actually, it's not Monopoly. It's
Monopoly.
Yeah. And then he's on the lanai. And he's offered a piece of cheesecake.
You're going Golden Girls on us?
And then he goes,
thanks.
Would you like anything else?
Pasta bolognese.
Okay, maybe some pasta.
And then, like, pasta. His house burns down, so he has to move in with the Golden Girls. And they're like, he's like, can I get some lunch? And they're like, sure, I'll get you a sandwich. And he goes, no, I would like...
pasta meat sauce for lunch and pasta.
And then they're like, when's this guy get?
And then they give it to him, and he goes,
thanks.
It's all done.
It's been a long week, even though it was a short one.
All right. Well, we got some audio to get to from the St. Louis radio station.
Yeah, they not a good show. Okay.
Okay, this can't be real. Somebody just tweeted us and said, the homeboys in outer space once traveled to the planet Indabuff, where everyone was naked.
Yeah, it's a that was a really condescending show aimed at young black people.
It's like in Wayne's World. Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth.
Dorothy, get... Pasternak, it's Dorothy. Can you get Stanley out of here once and for all?
Thanks.
Pasta?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Making lunch. What do you want?
Pasta.
Okay. Well, here you go.
Blanche has got a guy over. She's a slut. Someone needs to interrupt this. I don't like this guy.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Oh, you did it again, Pasta. All right. We'll be right back with that audio from St. Louis.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.